Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 2-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. What would you do if you found out your loved one had cancer? And not only that, stage 4 cancer. Would you shut down? Would you live life to its fullest? Well, this week we find out. We talk to Andy Kane. We talk about his beautiful wife, Laura, who lost her battle to stage 4 breast cancer. And we find out how he's living his life every moment, every 30 seconds. How are you today, Andy?
I'm doing good, Mel. Thank you.
So tell me about 30 Seconds Project.
Well, you know, what it is it's something that is really just a sort of a twist on Carpe Diem. I mean, we all know Carpe Diem, seize the day.
Right.
And I've found that that's a really cute thing to say, but not many of us really do seize the day that we're given, because we're just working for something. I think it might be peace of mind in the end. And a lot of times the days don't cooperate with what it is that we're trying to be happy about. But even in the midst of that, and I learned this from the cancer world, because even in the midst of some really dark and awful stuff, if you are kind of living there in that moment, you can see some things that are pretty good.
Right.
And to me, that became seizing the day. It wasn't about jumping off a cliff or jumping out of an airplane or riding a bull. It was more about, you know, enjoying your cup of coffee with the person that you love, or you know, romping around with your kids. Because, as you know, I mean, sometimes it's tough to participate in the world when you're sick.
Exactly.
Or you're having to go back and forth between scans, or you know, the best, which is waiting for the phone call.
Right. I actually had my doctor's office call me the other day, and she's like, "How are you doing?" I'm like, "I don't know. You tell me." I'm like,
right.
You know, what the hell are you calling me for?
I want to tell you to have a good weekend when you found out it progressed, you know, and you're
right.
Just like, okay, yeah, thanks. But so 30 seconds was really an idea that I had, because I looked back about halfway through. Laura had cancer for about 4 years. And, you know, about 2 years in, I looked back, and as long as those days were and waiting for the results, or...
Your wife, or, Laura.
Yeah, my wife, Laura,
yes.
Who, she died 5 months ago from breast cancer. But... you know, the first year and a half to 2 years, I was a wreck. I was a mess. My world was destroyed. You know, I was so afraid, and, you know, I was very, very glum. And really, it's because the days seemed so long, especially when we were at the beginning, when you're getting the biopsies and you're going back and forth to the hospitals and the clinics and the infusion rooms and all of that stuff. And as long as those days were, I looked back, you know, when I was 2 years in, and went, wow, that went by so fast.
Right. When you're in the moment, and like, I know that you would agree with this, when you're waiting for that phone call, it seems like forever.
Ever. Absolutely.
You know, and the doctor might think, oh, I'll just get to it at the end of the day. And you're just like,
yeah.
Seriously, 9 o'clock, I want to know.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, and so we're in the midst of those really long waits. But it goes by so fast. And so I had this idea. What sort of helped me turn things around for myself was to go, look, we're all going to go at some point. And I had this thought, well, if that went that fast, and these were some of the longest moments of my life, I wonder what it's going to be like when it's over for me. I'm going to look back on my life. It's going to seem like 30 seconds.
Right.
And I am not going to waste it anymore. I can't waste it in sorrow. I can't waste it in jealousy, because, you know, my life has been rocked and our world has been changed, but our friends hasn't.
Right.
You know the range of emotions you go through. I don't know if it's true for you, but...
Oh, it is. I mean, being a survivor, like I tell all the listeners, survivorship is harder for me because, you know, as you know, once you're done with treatment, they just don't really touch that aspect as much. Right. And for a caregiver, like we were talking before the show, they don't really touch upon it at all.
No, not at all. I mean, yeah, so it was, so that's really what it came from. It just came from the idea that even now, today, you know, when I miss Laura or the kids miss her, you know, it's okay to acknowledge that you miss her and have those feelings, but I don't intend to let it keep my life from being a good one.
Exactly. And she wouldn't like that either.
No. And so the 30 seconds thing is like, there's just urgency there. Like, don't wait for something around the corner that all of a sudden your life will be better, because it never seems to come.
Right.
Or you get it and it's like not what you thought. So then you want to add something to it or up the ante a little bit, because maybe then if I get that on top of it, then I'll be happy. And I think we have to be happy where we are.
We are.
Happy is maybe a strong word, but accepting of where we are.
Exactly.
And so that's what it's about. And so my blog and stuff is really just the lessons I've learned as I went through, and I'm still going through some. I'm an emotional person.
Of course.
And so the things that I'm going through, I'm like, well, I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone. I know people are getting divorced and losing their jobs, or they have children who are drug addicts, or, you know, all of these awful things that happen to people. And for them, it's an awful ride. And so I'm sort of like the same way. I just want to point out some lessons and go, okay, despite that, you know, accept where you are, start from there, and try to make it as good as it possibly can be.
Exactly.
And that's just come from observations that I've noticed about myself, and seems to resonate with people.
And you have a lot of contributors to your 30-second project also.
I do. I mean, it's so crazy. I mean, I'm like getting into the social media world, and social media is almost sounds all business-like, but boy, there's a lot of just really cool people out there who are happy to chime in or say thank you very much. I was just having a discussion with someone today. This was face-to-face, but...
Wow, what was that like?
Yeah, it was weird. I didn't know where to look, you know? So that was odd, but yeah, it was face-to-face, and I was telling her, you know, me sharing my emotions and my thoughts and my observations has been such a godsend. And then it's reciprocated, because people write back and say, wow, it was so cool what you wrote today. It helped me through today.
Exactly. I've gotten the same things.
I'm sure you have. I mean, that's how I met you, was on Facebook.
Right. My addiction to Facebook.
Yeah. No kidding. You got to work on that.
I know. I'm currently in step number one. I'm admitting the problem.
Well, don't solve it yet.
I know I won't. I won't, because there is a lot of great information on Facebook, and a lot
there
of
is.
Great people like yourself and a lot of the survivors and organizations that I find. And I wish I had really known about Facebook when I was going through my treatment and everything, because I didn't really know about it.
Right.
Which was surprising.
Of course, then you get introduced to it, and that's where you live.
Exactly. So. It is. In the virtual world. Now, we were talking about your wife, Laura. Tell us about how she found her cancer and going through that.
Laura's story is classic, right? I mean, she found a lump, mm-hmm. and, you know, she was 37 years old when she found it.
Oh, just like me.
Yeah. Okay. So it's too young
mm-hmm.
to, you know, they tell you when you're 40, start getting mammograms, and she had no history. Laura was really not, no one's supposed to get cancer, especially her.
Right.
She was young and vibrant and healthy and ate well and didn't drink too much and exercised and had no history. And she was diagnosed with stage 4.
Wow.
Right out of the gate. Yeah.
And she didn't feel sick at all or anything?
Not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all. I mean, she was healthy throughout most of it. She really was. Obviously, the treatments are the ones things that make you sick.
Oh, yes.
Which is so ironic, but...
yes.
Yeah, and so it was just cancer is just a shock no matter who you are, and for us it was extremely shocking. Yeah, like it is for everybody. I mean, I can't imagine it's any different for anybody.
Oh, no.
The stage four thing, though, hit really hard, like hit really, really hard. So yeah, and she, I don't know how much you want to know, but it was...
However much you'd like to share.
Well, I mean, she just took it like a champion. I mean, she was the one that was rooting me on early on, you know, and...
Right.
And I don't know if that's uncommon or not. I mean, that's one of the things you and I, again, talked about as the co-survivor or the...
Caregiver, right.
Yeah, the caregiver or cancer partner.
I don't know if I like that term, cancer partner. That sounds like, I have well, it. You want to have it with me?
With her.
Like a little dance.
I went through it.
Well, you said...
I did the dance with her, that's for sure.
Well, you said one of your... either the person giving you like a chemo teach or one of the oncologists or nurses or something, they told you something that I was totally shocked at when they told you that you were kind of experiencing a hard time dealing with the emotions that you were feeling. Do you remember that? What that was?
I don't.
You were told to suck it up.
Oh, yeah, basically that is what you're told. You know. Yeah, that is pretty much it. I mean, I found the... And again, I don't know if it's because I didn't look hard enough for it or I thought I could just deal with myself, but I just didn't see the support.
Right.
That you know, and it wasn't even just the people in the clinics. It's also friends, you know, who are sympathetic to a degree, but then there's also the idea that, well, you're not the one that has cancer, so, you know, you just need to deal and don't cry and don't do these other things because you're not the one that's going through it. And I'm like, you know, internally I'm going, yes, I am. I'm
right,
going through it 100% with her.
You're not going, you're not luckily taking the medication or anything,
right,
but you're,
no.
I mean, you're right there. I mean, I'm sure you were like, my fiance, Doug, going through every chemo treatment and every, you know, if he could have been in the surgery room, I'm sure he would have been right there.
And you just feel useless too. I mean, you feel like you want to help so bad, and there's not a whole lot you can do, you know, ultimately, yeah, to be there. And but she wasn't one that really wanted a cheerleader. She was one that wanted a regular life.
Right.
She did not want the cancer to be how people knew her. She didn't have a choice in that matter. I mean,
well,
we live in a small community and everybody knew.
Right, but I know what she's saying. Like, when I would come to work and I would try to be, you know, brave and be, a, you know, if I thought, well, I'm going to be upset, people are going to be like, oh, well, what does cancer girl want now?
Yeah,
you
right.
Know?
Right.
And I know what she's thinking. It's like, okay, well, I don't want to, she doesn't want to be known as cancer girl. Like, if she goes to somebody with a problem or
right.
someone comes to her, they'll think, oh, well, and I've talked to a lot of survivors about this. You know, people won't want to go to a cancer survivor because they'll think, well, I had cancer. Your car problems are kind of insignificant.
Exactly.
I was relishing someone to vent at me about anything that
yeah.
was unrelated to cancer, you know.
Right, and when they do, and, you know, I get it, but they're almost apologetic. Or
right.
they'll say, oh, it's such a tough day. Oh, but really, it's nothing compared to what you're going through. I get it, yeah, and you're like, oh, no, share
yeah.
with me something normal, something
exactly.
non-cancer related.
Exactly, and cancer just seems like a big vacuum, and especially when you're in it like you were with Laura and myself with Doug, it's just like, it seems like there's nothing else. Like we were talking about, time had stopped, it almost seemed like.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Absolutely, especially, if, yes, that was one of the things is I just felt like I just remember watching the world go.
Yes.
And sitting there just like going, well, how are people continuing this way? Don't you know what's going on here?
Exactly.
And it almost points out to you that again, it gives you a perspective, so I guess you're somewhat lucky in that way, is that you do get perspective. But by the same token, the world is still spinning and you need to participate in it.
Right.
As well, and that gets a little weird too, because you almost don't want to. I know I didn't. I did not want to have anything to do with the quote unquote real world, you know. But the you know the guys at the electric company still send you their bills, and
right.
You know they don't, and your car payments still keep coming, even though you're like, you guys, are you kidding? We're talking about life or death, and you want your car payment? Well, you know.
Exactly.
Of course they do. They should. They should. I'm not saying that.
Right, exactly. We're not saying don't pay your bills, everybody.
Yeah. I'm not asking for the hall pass here.
Although I have to admit I have used the cancer card every once in a while. You know.
Laura did sparingly.
Yes.
Sparingly. And it was always for her kids, though.
I mean,
it was
good.
Always like if we needed to get them in with a certain teacher that would be better for one of the kids' personalities, she would play it and outwardly,
right.
Not apologizing either. So, I mean, she was amazing, no question.
Now, it must have been hard for you. When they diagnosed her, did they say, and I know a lot of doctors are callous, not, I don't want to say callous, but I don't know what else to call it. Say,
clinical. Oh, I call it clinical.
Clinical, thank you. When they say, oh, well, she only has X amount of time to live.
Mm-hmm. They never said that to us.
Okay.
The local ones did, not to slam them.
Right.
We sought different help at Rush University in Chicago, which is about 2 hours south of us. And that was great because it was really about understanding. I will tell you, those people there were very, very understanding. Once we got into on the right track, we dealt with a lot of people who were not really all that cold.
Oh, that's good.
And part of it could have been Laura's personality. I know she was just this very small, sweet woman and unassuming. But they never once gave us a life expectancy until the end. One of her last oncologists said, you know, you've already outlived what any of us would have thought.
Wow.
You know, and it's, isn't that an interesting thing? You're kind of proud, but at the same time going, oh no.
Yeah.
You know.
And it goes back to what I hate when the doctors say, well, for example, I have hypothyroidism and vitamin D deficiency. Well, how did that happen? I don't know. Great.
Well, that too, yeah.
I know I'm so grateful for you that Laura outlived their expectations, but you also want to go, well, do you know why? Is there, you know, maybe it may not help Laura, but it may help the next person.
Other people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and how long was she fighting the fight?
About 3.5 years.
Wow.
So, and she, I don't know, she was amazing. I tell you, she treated the scan. I mean, she had scans every other week because it was in her brain and her body and her bones. And she treated that like it was just so routine. It was like on her calendar, and she'd drive and get them and come back. And I mean, it was just amazing. She didn't share half of what she went through with anybody, and had told me don't make that something that you share with people, because really, I mean, it was my deal,
right?
And I'd rather just have it be my deal, you know, because, and she's the one that pointed out to me, you know, everyone has tough stuff they have to deal with. This is ours,
right?
I mean, wow.
And some survivors don't want to talk about it, which is fine, and that's one of the reasons for this podcast. If you don't want to talk about it, and you know, there's a husband or wife going through what you're going through, they can listen to this and kind of prepare and know what to expect. Or maybe have the same kind of, you know, if they have the same kind of emotions, they can say, oh, okay. Because you always ultimately feel, and I've said this before, you ultimately always feel like you're the only person going through this.
Yeah.
You know? As a survivor, I was just like, well, nobody knows what I'm going through. I can't talk to Doug. You know, I can talk to him and he can be empathetic, but he won't know what I'm going through. And then, you know, I'm sure if Laura was sitting here, I'd be like, I don't know what, you know, nobody knows what I'm going through. And she'd be like, yeah, I do. The co-survivors, spouses, husbands, friends, whatever, will know what you're going through. I mean, obviously, I've only seen what Doug was going through. I have no idea what.
And the hard part is you can't even hardly communicate it. How do you?
Right.
You can't really find the right words to say. I mean, I can say, well, my heart was in my throat for 3.5 years.
Right.
But that doesn't quite capture it either.
No.
Gives you an idea. But, and that was one of the things, too, when you had called and you brought it up and you said, well, as a co-survivor, what is, you know, what would you want to share? And I would just say it is a lonely spot,
right.
You know, and I don't know that there's a manual for that or how do you get through this. I don't know if there's one for the cancer patient either.
I've been looking for it.
You have to. You know. What's that?
I said, I've been looking for the manual, and it's not out there.
I think it's one page, and it's just like, you have to. You know,
it's one page, and it says, see other side, and the other page says the same thing. And you're like, oh.
Right. It definitely makes you become an adult if you weren't one before.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, you were saying that you had all the hospitals that I've seen, and I think a lot of places are better now as far as helping out the husbands and the wives of the cancer patients. But you were saying that you couldn't find anything for caregivers. Like the person said, suck it up. I mean,
and that's, again, I want to be fair because I don't know how hard I really looked. I mean, I turned it inward.
Right.
Yeah.
Because like what we were talking about before, you have a wife who's going through treatment. You have a business to run. You have two kids who were at what age at the time?
I have four kids at the time.
Oh, four kids at the time. I apologize. And
no, that's okay.
And then you're going to look on the internet to find help.
Right. Exactly.
You know.
Well, and I think that was, if there's any point to be made to anybody that's in the profession and is make it so obvious, you know, because you and I had talked.
Right.
You can't think. I mean, you can't even, you know, I know it settles down and all that other stuff, but your focus becomes on finding the foods that somebody can eat or
exactly.
getting your kids, you know, squared away and dealing with their emotional issues and your own and occasionally friends and you know, arranging all the things you have to arrange to get back and forth, all of the things that come with it that add to a bit already busy life. The idea of help for the other person going through it with the cancer patient, it should be so obvious. You know,
right.
It should just be everywhere. You know, and that's where, you know, I don't want to be a victim here, but there was no really obvious even pamphlet I could pick up.
Really?
That would sort of start the process going. I'm sure there's support groups. Of course there are.
Of course. But, I mean, it's hard if you have children and
you
have a job.
There?
How do you get there?
Yeah.
Who's going to watch your kids?
Yeah, and
you know,
the night where you can your spouse or your partner is too sick that you can't go.
Right.
You know, so I guess what I really would have liked is some hand holding there.
Right, and I know what you're saying because we were talking about, like, for example, I had the FMLA forms and my work sent them over, and I'm just like, okay, the last thing I want to look at is paperwork because I was just diagnosed. And then they call me, they're like, you haven't filled out the paperwork yet. I'm like, hello, surgery, chemo, what?
Right. I can't get out of bed, man.
You know, they're like, well, we just didn't think that you didn't care. I'm just like, my world is turned upside down. You know, it's like you're talking about, well, how is the world still revolving if I have cancer? I mean, there were some days where I just look outside and it would be such a beautiful day. It's like, well, how can it be such a beautiful day out? And I feel like crap.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. I know. It's definitely as horrific as you're led to believe, at least. And I don't want to be overly dramatic because
right.
I know everyone has issues. But for me and this particular issue, it was hard.
Right.
And I could have used some advice. Advice would have been good.
Right. And I think a lot more hospitals, from what I'm finding and what I'm looking on the internet, a lot of places are doing that now.
I would bet they are, of course.
Right.
So maybe I have an unfounded complaint.
I don't think anyone's story about how they dealt with cancer is any kind of unfounded complaint, because wherever you went will be different from, you know, the hospital.
Yeah.
What information I got.
Right,
so
right.
You know, that's why we have this show, to share all that information.
Well,
for
I
sure.
mean, what just popped into my head is the whole idea of breast cancer awareness, right? And I had said it to you before, I just can't imagine you need to make people more aware. but clearly, it's just like what I was talking about. I mean, you maybe just don't see it.
Right.
Maybe just it's all over in my mind, but I'm hypersensitive to it.
Yes, I know. And especially on Facebook recently, they had, be more aware of breast cancer, post your bra color. I'm like,
I thought it was thong color to start, but...
Well, it should be thong colored because it's Cervical Cancer Awareness Month in January.
Well, there you go.
So that's that's what it should be.
Perfect.
Okay, now that's what I want to see you post. Hey, everyone, it's Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. Please post your thong color on Facebook.
Right. I'll let you know. You'll know if I do.
Okay. And, yeah, I mean, I think breast cancer has, I don't want to say the cachet, but it has, you know, we have the month, hooray. I guess hooray for us because we have the big month, and it seems like it's, there's a lot more invested towards breast cancer, but I've heard there's a lot of other cancers out there that I've never heard of that, you know, need to have awareness. Like you said, I'm pretty sure everyone's aware that there's breast cancer, but it's you know, actually doing something about it and helping.
Yeah.
And helping spouses and survivors and kids, you know, go through this. Because
yes.
That's the point. I mean, it's hard.
Absolutely. And I mean, for my thing, you know what's nice about, I know I'm getting into the 30 seconds thing, but it's
okay.
So intertwined, you know, is when I get emails from people who say, yeah, you know, I'm going through something.
Right.
And I love that. You know, I do. I don't know that I'm giving any great advice, but I can at least say, look, I've been there, and this is what I did.
Right.
And that's about all I can offer, but I'm going by the responses I get, which are, thank you very much for sharing that, you know, and it does, ultimately we do have to deal with it by ourselves, whatever problems we have.
Right.
But like you pointed out earlier, it's nice to know, for whatever reason, that you're not the only person, you know, that's going through this, because it's not as lonely.
Exactly. And, I've talked about my battle with depression. I'm on antidepressants, and I wish I had been brave enough to ask my doctor beforehand. You know, and I'm not a medical professional, and I always say on the show, always talk to your doctor about any kind of medical advice, because... You know, you don't want someone who got their degree at a communication school offering you medical advice. I have a degree in mass comm and fine arts. Trust me, you don't want me giving you medical advice. But, you know, if you feel like you need it, talk to your doctor. You know, it's like I had the hardest time because I thought I'm strong enough. And then there were days where I just felt, nobody knows what I feel like. And I didn't want to talk to anybody or get out of bed. And finally... My doctor even knew when I went to see her. She was like, you're not acting like you. And this is someone who I've maybe seen six times. Well, my primary care, not my oncologist. Six times within like a span of 2 years.
Right, right.
You
so
know,
that marked.
Right, exactly. Because I'm pretty much an upbeat person. And even through my cancer, I've been, you know, had a good positive mental attitude. Because I do believe that helps a lot. I mean.
Well, you know, again, I've read just a few studies, not a lot. I am no expert, but let's say it doesn't actually physically do anything for your body, which I know there are studies that say, well, of course it does, but let's say it didn't. Aren't you better off for it?
Right.
Anyways, if you're emotionally, you know, happy despite, that's what I'm working towards. I'm working towards, despite whatever problems, whatever I may judge to be problems, if I can be at the worst accepting of it and at the best positive about it,
right?
And it doesn't turn out the way that I hope, I don't get, like, I don't really score the big win, but at least the time that led up to the disappointment was better spent than being sad about it.
Exactly.
You know, and that's sort of what I hope people learn from what I write, is that, you know, we really do have a choice. And I know it's really, really hard. You can't really make yourself be happy.
No.
But over time, if you can accept where you are and start to look for some positive things. I was complaining this morning. No kidding. I was complaining this morning because I woke up at 5:30 to run, right? And it was so cold. And I was talking to someone that works for me, and I was just like, I must be crazy to be complaining about this.
I hear you. Your perspective of like things like that completely change. You know, It's like sometimes I'll be like, oh man, I hate the way my hair looks. And I'm like, wait a minute. Last year I didn't have any, you know,
right.
And I can put it up in a ponytail and it's, you know, it's that. I mean, unfortunately it's that kind of life changing thing. And, you know, everybody says everything happens for a reason. Some people don't, which is fine. But, you know, if it helps you see, it's hard. Yes, it is hard to argue. But if it makes you see life in a different perspective and maybe in a better way, then, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, if you need a better perspective, go get cancer, because trust me, that's...
No.
Not at all.
Again, more bad advice.
Yes, exactly. More bad advice from the person with the...
from the communication. So, I mean, my message is a simple one, and it's really just be where you are, as hard as it may be sometimes. And sometimes just doing that gets you through some of those awful minutes that you need to go through.
Exactly. And wouldn't you rather go through life, even if it's so hard, wouldn't you rather go through life being happier than being depressed?
Amen. Yeah, because I spent way too much time being depressed about it.
Right.
Again, I'm not saying it was easy. I mean, I had a wife who was telling me, buck up, get over it. You know, she told me, a turning point for me was when she told me, you know, you used to be so funny.
Oh.
And you know,
that's okay.
But she used to say, you know, you used to be so funny. Why can't you be funny again? You know? And that was a big thing for me, because I was like, wow, I'm sort of letting her down here. You know? And I did a lot in those years. I mean, not on purpose.
Right. And I think that's a perfect example, because, you know, Laura didn't know how to deal with it either, I'm sure. Just like,
no.
You know, it's all new. Like you said, I blogged about it. There's no manual. I use the example of that TV show, The Greatest American Hero.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that TV show?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, well, for listeners who haven't, it's this guy who's just your average Joe, and the spaceship comes down, and they give him this, he becomes like a superhero, and they give him a superhero suit and a manual. It's in the middle of the desert. Well, he loses the manual how to use his superpowers. So that's what I equate cancer being. I mean, not that you have a superpower, but it's like, okay, well, everyone's telling me one thing. You know, how do I get to fly? Seriously. You know, how do I become happy? How do I get through this moment, you know, to find the good ones, like you said? I mean, I've had those days, too, where it's like, you know, you come into work and everyone's smiling and you're like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, don't you know what kind of a crappy day I'm having? But then it's just like, okay, I would rather watch, for an example, like a movie marathon of all funny movies, like The Hangover or Happy Gilmore or whatever, than like all like a series of like dark and depressing movies.
Right.
Because it's more uplifting and it makes you feel good.
Yeah, and I mean, I just remember that. I just feel like if anyone's like at the end of their rope, I mean, that is where, for me anyways, things turned around.
Right.
Because I just gave up. And you realize, you know, you had said everything happens for a reason. You believe that. I happen to believe that, too. I know there are people that don't. But, I mean, you don't want to be a patsy and just lay down.
Right. And your reason could be as simple as your kids. I mean, your life. Everyone, you know, like you said, everyone has problems. But I believe life is good. And it's meant to be lived. And, you know, How many years were you married to Laura?
17.
So out of those 17, even though you battled cancer with her for a few, weren't those all of them the best years of your life, even though you're fighting this terrible disease?
No question.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, if you could go back and have her not have cancer, of course. But
that's where the trick comes in, because that's the part that you go, but she does.
Right.
You know, that's what I mean by acceptance. You know, you mentally fight it, and that's the same as being stuck in traffic, right?
Right.
You can sit there and lose your mind completely over being stuck in traffic, and at some point look around and go, well, I'm stuck in traffic.
Yeah, I'm the only idiot screaming here, and everyone
and
else is...
That's it, yeah.
Everyone else is listening to their tunes or talking to their on their cell phones, and you're just like, why am I getting so upset? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you and I had talked, you know, if you were grumpy or just sad or anything, I believe that I would be the same as Laura. If I didn't make it, I'd come back and be like, you know, I'd literally haunt Doug and be like, you can't be sad. Your life is worth living. Yes, I mean, be grateful for what you had with her. You know what I mean?
You know, yeah, absolutely. And you know, I really am. And not to drag this out, but at this point now, there's guilt creeping in. And I've read books on grieving,
mm-hmm.
and they talk about a guilt factor, survivor's guilt.
Oh yes, I've had that too.
Yeah, and it's a bizarre feeling because it's like, well, I don't know how happy I'm supposed to be,
right.
You know?
Yes.
And I'll sort that out as well, because it really is, I have a life as well.
Right.
And I need to honor my time here. And it's not at the expense of Laura's. I'm not diminishing her life, but by the same token, I have a life that I need to take care of.
Right.
And I want my goal, as I said, what I tend to do is be happy and get as much done as I can, because I just don't want to die with a lot of regret.
Exactly.
And that's my 30 seconds thing again. It's like, man, I got 30 seconds. The clock is ticking. How much time am I going to spend wishing things were some different way? Not much.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Because I did that.
Yeah, and it doesn't do any good.
It does no good. Not at all. I was not a good father at that time. I was not a good husband. I was not a good friend. I was poor Andy. And didn't do any good for me or anybody else.
But now you're doing good. The 30-second project came out of all this.
Yeah, it did. It did. And like I said, it's been great for me. And I hope that I really do. And, you know, Mel, 4 years ago, I didn't really care about other people so much.
Right.
I wasn't a jerk. I was fine, you know, but I was...
That's not what I heard. More... No, I'm just kidding.
Right. So I am famous. Yeah. Infamous.
Exactly.
But no, it was about my family, my home, my stuff. And all of a sudden, as a result of this, I have a sincere concern when I see other people wasting time or their life over petty things or
exactly.
even important things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we all complain so much, you know, and it's kind of a waste. Because many of us have the power to at least change our own world, meaning our immediate circle,
exactly.
starting with ourselves.
Exactly. And if we can help some people along the way, that's fantastic.
That's the best.
Exactly.
That is no question. No question. Because the things I write in the blog, you know, I made some goofy little video, and I don't know if you saw it, but it was the most, the one that I got the most comments on from people. And I was doing that for myself 100% to show my, because, you know, it was, people are asking, how are you doing? And I thought, well, I'll just show them what my day is like.
I'll have to watch it now for sure.
Oh, yeah. I hope you do.
I will.
But anyway, you know, I'm starting with myself, and I think if you are a cancer co-survivor, or you're the person with cancer, as you know, you have to take care of yourself
exactly.
first.
Yes.
It sounds really selfish, but I'll throw out my analogy real quick, and that is, I was on a plane once, and this was, again, just about after I sort of turned the corner. I wasn't completely glum, and I started to travel for business a little bit again, and that was a big move for me to leave home.
Mm-hmm.
And but I was sitting on the plane, and I was kind of excited about the trip, but then I was got that guilt feeling about how can you be excited about this when this is what's happening in your life.
Right.
And you know, the flight attendants did that pre flight takeoff instructions on the seatbelt and all that stuff.
Yes.
And she did the, you know, when the oxygen mask dropped down, and the, you know, they tell you, don't try to help somebody else before you put your own oxygen mask on, you know, put it on yourself first, and then you help other people. And I was like, that's my analogy that I was looking for. You got to help yourself first.
Exactly.
And it's not selfish. You know, you got to be right first before you can begin to help others. And that's, I've been finding that to be true.
And it's sometimes it's hard to figure that out.
Yeah.
Look how long it took you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all of us really. I mean, it's the same thing. And it's, I'm sure it's especially hard for caregivers, you know, because you're so worried about Laura. Doug was so worried about me. And it's just like, I really honestly didn't think that much about what he was going through a lot, because I was just so focused on, you know, holy crap, I have cancer.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
And I think that's not, I mean, it's not like you ignored him.
No.
I mean, you know, of course not. I mean, but you did have to. I'm going to guess. I don't know, but I'm go by Laura. I mean, she got her mind wrapped around it quicker than I did.
Yes.
That this is just our life. This is part of our life. It doesn't mean we don't go to school functions. It doesn't mean we don't, you know, go out to dinner when we can.
Right.
You know, we have to change certain things about our life, but we still have a life.
Exactly.
And I was like, no, our life is over. I mean, we're done.
Oh, I never thought that, though.
She didn't either, ever. No. And that was my bad. I mean, I was just, I realized how weak I was.
Well, we are the stronger sex, Andy. You know that.
You guys clearly are. I will give you that. I have no, you will get no argument here. I'm not even just sucking up.
Oh, you are a little. I know you are a little. So that's a good note to end it on, I think.
I think so, too.
Why don't you tell us the name of how to get to your 30 Seconds project?
Oh, thank you. It's just www.30seconds, you spell it out, .us.
.us. And is there any other information, any websites that you want to share with our listeners?
Not offhand. I have many.
Okay. Well,
go there, and I have so many. I have like social links all over it, and
excellent.
I'm happy to. I sincerely am happy to take emails from people who want to talk off the record.
Excellent.
And,
of course.
I'm great with that.
You won't post their thong color, only if they ask. If it's cervical cancer awareness month.
That's my next post. Quick pick. That would be disgusting. But really, man, I thank you so much. And I know I just called you man, but thank you so much.
Oh, you are welcome. And let's wrap it up like we usually do. You can always find me on Twitter at Mel Majoros. On Facebook, I am a Facebook junkie, Mel Majoros. You can also join our fan page, The Cancer Warrior, on EmpowerRadio.com on Facebook. Check out my blog, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. You can email me, thecancerwarrior@gmail.com. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.